Well, good morning, church. I hope everybody is doing well. I wish that I was able to be standing behind a pulpit and seeing all of your faces, but we can't do that now, and it doesn't look like that's going to be able to happen for at least 30 days. And so until then, we're going to continue to bring messages for you like this so you and your family can watch them on Sunday morning. And we're just going to jump right in. So if you have your Bibles, if you could open up to Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 12 through 18. So please read along with me. The Apostle Paul writes the following. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, even though we're not allowed to gather together at this moment as a church, Lord, we trust you. Lord, our faith is in you. You are a good and gracious God. Lord, you know exactly where we're all at this moment. And Lord, we trust you for that. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your spirit upon us as a church. Lord, that you would use your word to build up our faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, you would use this specific word to help us with having the right perspective that you want us to have as we walk through this trial together as a church, as a nation, and really as the entire world. So Lord, would you please bless us this morning? Would you please bless my friends who are watching this message right now? Fill us all with your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, like many of you, you probably find yourself out and about in your neighborhood more than you typically do. And that probably also includes your neighbors. And so what I've seen in my neighborhood is neighbors that I have not seen in a really long time are out walking around the block. And so with that, it gives us an opportunity to at least say hi to them, wave to them. Sometimes they stop across the street and they'll say a few words. They'll ask how we're doing. But one thing happened about a week ago as a neighbor was out walking her dog. She stopped on the other side of the street and we began to talk. I was asking about her family. She was asking about my family. And then she just stopped and she said, "How's your church?" And she said, "What are you guys doing? Are you doing online meetings? Are you streaming your messages?" And so I told her what we were doing. And then as she walked away, it just got me thinking, what does the mission look like for us as a church during this time? What does it look like for us as we stay at home, as we distance ourselves socially, unable to really gather together? How do we faithfully participate in the mission of making Christ known to the world around us when we really can't go very far? We can't invite people to an actual meeting or things like that. And so as I've thought about this for the last week, talked with some people in the office through Zoom, as well as people on the phone, it just got me thinking, and it really helped to change my perspective. And I hope this message changes your perspective as well, or at least informs it in regards to how you stay at home and still participate in the mission that Christ has given to us. Because I want us to have the right perspective. And I think having the right perspective during this time means that we're still thinking about the mission, that the mission is still at the forefront of our minds as a church, as we live life distant from others, but still able to participate in people's lives, though in very different ways. And so this message is about How do we stay in the mission? How do we proclaim the gospel to those around us? Should we be proclaiming the gospel to those around us in the midst of this current trial? And so what I want you to know is that perspective matters. How we look at life, how we look at the circumstances and the situations that we find ourselves in makes all the difference to our experience of the circumstances and how we live in the midst of these circumstances. And so our perspective will also inform what we do and what we say to those around us in the midst of difficult times. And so perspective matters. And God is eager this morning for us to have the right perspective, or his perspective, as we live out our lives under this social distancing and stay-at-home mandate. God wants us to see that in every circumstance, in every situation we find ourselves in, there is an opportunity for us to trust him and to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ to those that are sovereignly placed around us. And so more specifically, this is what this message is about. What matters most is the gospel of Jesus Christ and its advance in our community. What matters most is the gospel of Jesus Christ and its advance in our community. And so having this perspective, I think, is going to change the way we walk through this COVID-19 pandemic and the restrictions that are placed upon us personally. It radically changes every situation, not just this current one, but every situation that we'll ever find ourselves living life in. And so we're going to jump into looking at this perspective by taking a look at a couple points this morning. The first one is this: every circumstance is an opportunity to advance the gospel. Every circumstance is an opportunity for us as Christians, men and women and children who believe in Jesus Christ, to advance the gospel to the world around us. Take a look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul writes the following: I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, what had happened to Paul was that he had been placed on house arrest. He had been thrown in jail. He was no longer free to kind of go and do as he pleased. His freedom had been taken away from him. He was locked up. He was being guarded by Roman soldiers, and he was awaiting a trial that would determine what he would be able to do with his life, whether he would be set free or be killed for his belief and proclamation of the gospel. As he wrote this letter, he did not know what was going to happen. He didn't know that he'd ever see freedom again. And so death for him was a very real possibility, which makes this letter so encouraging, because he writes it from prison, but this letter to the Philippians is just, it's full of joy. Paul was a happy man, even though he had to stay in a home and was under arrest and awaiting a trial that would determine if he would live or not. But Paul's Godward perspective of his current imprisonment, it changed the way he viewed his circumstance. What we don't find here in this letter is we don't find Paul wallowing in self-pity as he reviewed his imprisonment and lack of freedom. We don't find him complaining or charging God for placing him in prison and restricting what he could or could not do. We don't even find a weary Paul, defeated as he thought about his future. No, what we find is we find a Paul who is rejoicing in the gospel, rejoicing even in his current circumstances and looking to serve the people around him by specifically encouraging the Philippians with this letter. Paul may not have known what was going to happen to him, but he was certain that what has happened to him has served to advance the gospel. And it's this certainty that was fueling his joy and his encouragement for the Philippians. What we need to see here is that Paul's imprisonment was not a barrier or a roadblock to the gospel and its advancement. Paul looked at it as an opportunity, and his experience was one that it was an opportunity. Take a look at verses 12 through 14 with me. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has served me, what has happened to me, has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul's imprisonment was for Christ. He was in chains for Christ, and he really believed this. God was advancing the gospel through Paul's witness from his cell to the entire Roman imperial guard and to the rest of everyone else who was watching him walk through this trial. See, Paul's imprisonment was part of God's divine strategy to bring the gospel to people who needed to hear the gospel. These Roman soldiers weren't running to Paul prior to him being imprisoned, wanting to know more about what he was teaching people. They weren't asking Paul prior to his imprisonment who Jesus was and what he did and why it's so important to believe in him. They weren't running to a church hoping to be a part of a local church. And so what God did is God used Paul's imprisonment to meet these soldiers right where they were at. God placed Paul right in the center of their world to influence them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what we see here and what Paul sees is that prison became the ideal setting for Paul to preach the gospel to people who absolutely needed to hear the gospel. Now, I've said this phrase, I'm going to share it with you in just a second, many times in many messages whenever we talk about sharing the gospel. And I share it privately with people because I think this is how the Lord works with us as believers individually and corporately as a church. And here it is. We will take the gospel as far as the Lord allows for our feet to travel. And so what's behind this phrase in my thinking here is we serve a big God who's perfect in all of his ways, who's all wise, and he has a purpose and a plan that he is unfolding day after day after day after day. And we see it happen throughout the pages of Scripture. God knows exactly what he's doing. And God is at work in all things for the good of those that love him. And he's absolutely committed to his mission, to seeking and saving the lost. And so I really believe that we will take the gospel as far as the Lord allows for our feet to travel. And so I just trust that God sends us each and every day as we leave our homes, as we go to work, as we go to school, and things like that that we used to do, but we're not doing now. But I still believe this is true because the Lord allows for us to go certain places. He puts us in certain situations so that we would obviously grow in our faith, but that we would also be his witnesses. And so I believe that we will take the gospel as far as the Lord allows for our feet to travel. The problem is we find ourselves in a situation like this COVID-19 pandemic, and our feet are not traveling very far. For many of you, you're not even leaving your home. You're barely leaving the room that you're in your house. And so our feet aren't actually traveling very far, but that doesn't mean that we take a vacation from this mission that God has given to us because we're stuck in our homes. Because in reality, we're learning new ways to interact with the world around us. We're using different platforms. And so I believe in the midst of this current circumstance and trial, God is still calling us to be on mission. And we really need to believe that wherever God allows for our feet to travel or for our voices to travel, whether we're using the phone, FaceTiming people, jumping on Zoom calls for work, or maybe getting out to go to the grocery store, and especially social media, that God is allowing for us to continue to be his witnesses, and that he has sovereignly placed us in this situation to continue to be faithful believers who pick up a cross and we follow Jesus Christ. And so part of following Jesus Christ means that we're continuing to bear faithful witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to tell people about Jesus in the midst of this time when people lack hope and they lack peace. And he has granted that to us. He has gifted that to us through faith in Jesus. And he's called for us not just to hold on to it and to keep it for ourselves in our own homes, but he's called us to share it. So I hope that's your perspective. I believe God wants us to have that perspective. I want to share a quote with you from Sinclair Ferguson. He writes the following: God's logic is very different from ours. We assume that the circumstances must be right if we are to be really effective Christians. But God is not waiting for the circumstances to be right. He is committed to producing really effective Christians, whatever their circumstances may be. And so I love that quote, because a lot of times when we think about reaching out to people with the gospel, we think everything's got to be right. Every situation's just, it's got to be perfect. And if it's not, then it's not the right timing. But when we think that way, what we're doing is we're removing the sovereignty of God to a degree. We're not remembering that we serve a big God, an almighty God who is at work in all things. And Christ is ruling and reigning over all things. And that this COVID-19 pandemic and the stay-at-home mandates, they haven't surprised him. He's actually ruling and reigning over these things, and he's at work in his people in the midst of these things. And so he's sovereignly placed you right where you are at. And part of his good purpose is to use you to reach people that might not have ever been reached in other situations. And so right now, God is at work. Right now, God has given you a voice and has given you a place of influence to reach certain people that you might not have been able to reach apart from all that we are currently experiencing. And I say this because this is part of God's perfect plan for his church. He's given us a real mission. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, it teaches us about this mission. As Jesus was resurrected, he visited his disciples and he spoke these words to them. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And so that's our mission. We're called to make disciples. And so that for sure begins in the home, in your families. I want to encourage you as a church, continue to do that. Continue to figure out new patterns and new rhythms to read the Bible together, to pray together, to sing together. We definitely have time to do that as families. As you're gathering in your community groups on Zoom, read the Bible together, pray together, sing together, create these patterns of discipleship in your life. But don't forget that we've been called to go. So we might not be able to leave our home or leave our yards or leave our neighborhoods, but we're still called to go. And so God's calling us to this mission. And as we go on this mission, I want to encourage you with that final verse in verse 20, where Jesus says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And so as Paul was in prison, he wasn't alone. I gotta believe he was clinging to this promise that he wasn't alone, that Christ was with him in that prison. As he proclaimed the gospel to the guys who were guarding him, he trusted that the Lord Jesus was with him always. And so I want to encourage you with that same promise that as you go, as you step out and call somebody, or you check up on a neighbor, or you begin to share the gospel with somebody, that you're never, ever, ever doing that alone. That you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus for this witness. And as you go, he promises to be with you always. No matter the circumstances that we might find ourselves in, listen, church, we can have confidence, and I think we must have confidence, that we've been equipped with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to advance the gospel by speaking it with boldness and without fear. In our final point, we learned that love for Jesus and others is our motivation for the gospel, or our motivation for the advance of the gospel. The good news is that Paul's imprisonment had served to advance the gospel to all the men around him, and had also served to advance the gospel through the church, through his brothers and sisters who were watching him suffering while in prison. Verse 14 says the following: And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And so as the brothers and sisters in the church watched Paul in prison suffer well, continue to proclaim the gospel, their faith grew to continue to proclaim the gospel. They saw God at work. They saw God sustaining Paul. They saw God saving people through the preaching of the gospel. And it built their faith that this gospel is real, that the gospel really is advancing. And I want it to build your faith as well, because the gospel is advancing right now. It's advancing at the hearts of people as people are hearing the gospel, as people find themselves in dark times and a brother or sister in Christ proclaims the gospel to them. God is at work saving people, and he wants to use his church to accomplish that purpose, and he wants to use us. The bad news, though, is that some of these brothers were doing it for the wrong reasons. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. So some were boldly preaching Christ out of love, and some were boldly preaching Christ out of rivalry. Both groups were preaching the same Christian message about Jesus Christ crucified for our sins and raised from the dead. The only difference between these two groups that we are aware of from this text was their motivation for preaching the gospel. Some preached the gospel from goodwill, out of love, a love for Jesus, a love for Paul, and a love for the unbelievers around them to see them come to faith. And so their motivation was found outside of themselves. But there were some preaching the gospel for selfish reasons. They did it out of what Paul calls envy. Envy for Paul, meaning that they wanted Paul's success. They wanted his ministry. They wanted his following. And as a result, they saw preaching the gospel as a competition with Paul. They preached the gospel hoping to hurt Paul and to build up their own ministries. And so just a question for you. As you think about that, as you think about what Paul was experiencing, just ask yourself, how would you respond if you were Paul? If you're in prison and you're watching people preach the gospel out of love, and then you're watching this group of people over here who are preaching it out of envy, people trying to hurt you, people trying to maybe steal bits of your ministry, how would you respond? Would you want to fight back? Well, here's what Paul did. I love how Paul responds to this, because what he did is he didn't fight back. He resisted that temptation. And so he sits in prison and he thinks about this group preaching the gospel for all the wrong reasons. And here's what he says, verse 18. What then? What then? How am I supposed to think about this? What are my thoughts about these people preaching the gospel for all the wrong reasons? He goes on and he writes this, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. These men were preaching the gospel out of envy and rivalry, seeking to hurt Paul, but the way in which Paul responds is encouraging. It's encouraging because he doesn't fight back. It's encouraging because instead of getting mad at these people, he finds reason to rejoice. And so their plan actually backfires. They're trying to hurt him by preaching the gospel, but instead it ends up giving him reason to rejoice in Christ, because the gospel is advancing. The gospel is advancing whether they're preaching it for the wrong reasons or the right reasons. They're still proclaiming the gospel. And as a result of the gospel being proclaimed, and by that I mean faithful gospel, not a false gospel. I'm assuming they're preaching a faithful gospel because Paul's talking about it. And as they preach about Jesus Christ, true things about Jesus, people are getting saved. And in that, Paul finds great reason to rejoice, because he doesn't see them as a competition. It's not a competition for Paul. Paul's not trying to build up his own ministry. He's trying to direct people's attention to the only Savior, Jesus Christ. And as he sees people doing it, whether for good reasons or bad reasons, he rejoices. And so we learn something from Paul here. We learn that preaching the gospel, it's not a competition. It's not a competition. It's not about who can gain the most followers, who can build the biggest church. We are in this together with brothers and sisters all around the world, called by God, equipped by Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses, to go out into the world and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone who will hear, trusting that God is going to save people. And so for us, it's not a competition. Churches are not in competition with one another. Sovereign Grace Church is not competing with First Baptist Church of Woodstock. We're not competing with Sojourn or Woodstock City Church or Passion or Faith Community Church. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They are walking through the same situation that we are currently walking through, and they're seeking to be faithful to preach the gospel. And I love it. And I hope that as you find yourself on social media and you may be watching other videos of other pastors and you're watching what they're doing, I hope that that brings you joy. I hope that in the midst of that, you see God at work using his church, using other pastors, other people, other children's ministry workers, other community group leaders, gathering God's people and seeking to reach out to our community with the gospel. I hope that fills you with joy and that you never see it as a competition, because these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And for that, I find great joy when I see a brother, whether it's in Sovereign Grace or a brother outside of Sovereign Grace seeking to care for his church and reach a community. I love that. And when I see that, it reminds me to pray for them. And so I do that. I want to encourage you to do that as well, because we're not competing with them. We are partners in the gospel with our brothers and sisters around the world. And our greatest hope here is that God would use his church, not just Sovereign Grace Church, to be faithful witnesses and to reach as many people as we possibly can reach during this time. And so I want to encourage you, church, during this time, don't just pray for one another. Pray for the advancement of the gospel. Your feet might not be able to go out very far, but you can pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. You can pray for the churches in our community who are seeking to reach our neighbors. And so we're all going to participate together in that. Some people are going to be out there working really hard sharing the gospel. Some people are going to be out there providing special needs to people who are hurting during this time. And so God is using his body right now to reach this community and to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so let us partner up with them by praying for them. Let us also find reason to rejoice, like Paul found reason to rejoice with people who were doing it for the wrong reasons, but he still found reason to rejoice because the gospel was advancing. And so may we have this perspective that the gospel is advancing in the midst of trials, that the gospel is advancing right now, that God has called us to participate in this mission wherever he allows for our feet to travel or our voices to travel or our influence to travel. Let us take advantage of that and not see this pandemic and this stay-at-home mandate and this social distancing as a roadblock, as a stop sign that says, nope, you don't have to go there. You don't have to be on mission, because that's just not true. Let us see a sovereign God who is mightily at work right now, caring for his church, providing for his church, empowering his church with his spirit, so that we would be witnesses of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And so may this be our perspective. I hope this word right here, I hope you seeing Paul in prison, rejoicing in the advancement of the gospel, I hope you see that as God's work, and I hope it builds your conviction that you're not restricted in your influence in regards to the advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what I want us to do, just in closing, is I want us to think intentionally about this. I think that these restrictions force us to be intentional, to create patterns in our lives, to walk through this with endurance, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, the one who has given us this mission, it takes some intentionality. And so I want to ask you as a church to intentionally think about what does it look like for you and for us to reach our community. And I want to enlist your help, because I think we need it as a church, as we think about social media, as we think about my neighbor who asked that question, are you streaming your services live? And I told her, no, we record these things and people watch them. How do we get this into people's hands? How do we get encouragement from God's word into their hands? How can we partner together when we can't actually meet together to encourage neighbors? How can we be praying for one another? How can we be praying for one another in the advance of the gospel? And so I have a lot of questions. I think about this. I talk with the leadership team and other people about how can we as a church partner with other churches, care for our community, serve people during this trial and proclaim the gospel. And so I have questions. I'm sure you have questions. But what I want to challenge us as a church to have this perspective that this is an opportunity for us to be faithful witnesses. What does that look like? What is God calling you to do as a family to reach your neighbors that are around you, to reach this community with the gospel? How can you proclaim the gospel to somebody under these current circumstances? So I'd love to hear your answers to that. If you wouldn't mind, just you can call me if you had an opportunity to share the gospel. And I'd love to just be encouraged by what God is doing through you and your family as you're called to be witnesses and you seek to be faithful witnesses during this time. And so in closing, let us pray for this perspective. Let us pray for the advance of the gospel. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just ruling and reigning over all things. We thank you for placing Paul in prison and reaching the guards with the gospel and the people around him as they watched him suffer. Lord, we thank you for the faith that you gave Paul to proclaim the gospel and the joy that he found in the gospel being proclaimed. And Lord, we ask that you would do the same for us. God, that you would empower us in the midst of these troubling times to be faithful witnesses. Lord, may we not forget each and every day that you have called us to make disciples. You've called us and you've equipped us to be faithful witnesses. And so would you equip my brothers and sisters, Lord, with your spirit? Would you give us boldness to proclaim the gospel? Would you give us opportunities this week to be your witnesses? And Lord, may you make it fruitful. Will you please, Lord, save people? Lord, may we all be encouraged by the stories we hear of you saving people in the midst of this difficult time. So Lord, may the gospel advance. And Lord, may you bless your church in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, as you go about your work this week, in your home, as you distance yourself socially from one another, may the Lord bless you. May his grace come to you abundantly, and may you experience his protection and peace. God bless.